This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, Baruch HaBayim. Welcome, everybody. We start a new series now on Sefer Shemois. The Yeshurim on Sefer Shemois are again generously sponsored by Dr. Zakheim, Umeshpachta, L'Iloy Nishmas, Rav Shloima Eliezer ben Rav Yaakov Zakheim. Oh, it's also L'Iloy Nishmas, Dr. Zakheim's father. I have to get the name on that. And L'Iloy Nishmas, Dr. Zakheim's mother, Rivka Bas Tuvia Halevi. We thank them for again sponsoring the Shurman Sefer Shemois. Tonight's shir is sponsored by my longtime friend, who I know when he came to America and he came to the yeshiva in Brooklyn, Mendel Berlin, who is the editor of a wonderful Torah publication called Torah Sweets. Now is when we're going to interrupt. We're going to have a little commercial for Torah Sweets. Okay. Looking for inspiring Torah insight. Anybody good at commercials? Anybody want to do that? Looking for inspiring Torah insights for the Shabbos table? A weekly newsletter containing halacha, parsha thoughts, short story, and quote, not to mention some great humor mixed in. Excellent humor. The Torah Sweets newsletter is a perfect match. Email torahsweets@gmail.com. torahsweets@gmail.com. to subscribe for free and transform your Shabbos table. I know Mendel, he's a terrific guy, and he should be matzliach with it. Tonight's show is also sponsored by the Ruzhin and Ryabinsky family in honor of IDF soldiers and all the organizations in Israel helping our brothers and sisters. Okay, we have some very important announcements. Firstly, we have some trips coming up if you would like to join us. The end of February 17th to the 22nd. Maybe you want to join us on a trip following the journey of the Chida to Italy, to Ancona, Livorno, Pisa, Florence, Reggio, Ferrara, Bologna. We're going to go to the Kfarim of the Zerah Shimshon, the Abarbanel, Rav Moshe David Valley, the Ramami Fano, Rav Moshe Zakuto. So you could join us, and it will also be the yard site of the Chida. So it's perfect timing. I know you've always wanted to go to Italy, and now you could do it on the yard site of the Chida. Another very important announcement. For the very first time ever, March 3rd to March 5th, the first ever Machon Magid Rakia Yarchei Kala in Florida, in Miami. You're all welcome to join us. 2.5 days of Limud HaTorah Shiurim in sunny Florida. So you could see all the details on our site, rabbidg.com. Okay, Parshas Shemois. We heard the unfortunate news last night of the passing of the Mashgiach of the Lakewood Yeshiva, Rav Matasio Solomon, Zechat Tzadik Livrach. I would like to share with you today, tonight, an incredible insight of Rav Matasio Solomon. When I think about this insight, I don't know that people today have Ruach HaKodesh, but this insight seems divinely inspired to me. And let's begin with the following question. There's a man by the name of Moshe Rabbeinu. You ever hear of him? Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Navi who ever lived. There's Moshe. Everyone else was a tier or many tiers below. Nobody compared to Moshe. Not Yeshaya, not Yirmiyah, not Yechezkel, nobody. Not Shmuel Aleph and not Shmuel Beis. Okay? None of them. None of them compared to Moshe Rabbeinu. What was the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu? He prophesied Bas Baklar Yehamiyur. He prophesied with a clear prism. No Navi ever prophesied with a clear prism like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, according to most, did not have like a minor leagues, double A, triple A, major leagues. He went straight to the majors. He went from 0 to 60. Every time God spoke with him, it was Bas Baklar Yehamiyur. In this week's parsha, we learn about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's first encounter with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's first experience of Nevuah. Where does Hashem appear? He appears to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Smitai Chasneh, in the burning bush. In the burning bush. Vayar Malach Hashem Eilav, Vayiro Malach Hashem Eilav, Belab HaSeh, Smitai Chasneh. Vayar, Vihinei HaSneh, Boyer Ba'esh. The Sneh was burning in fire. VeHasneh, Einenu Ukal. The Sneh was not being consumed. By the way, for all you grandfathers out there, How do you say grandson in Yiddish? Einukal. Why? Because if you have a grandson, you're einenu ukal. You haven't been consumed. You haven't been destroyed. You have continuity. Einenu ukal. And einukal. Anyway, so Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitoch hasna. Now this is interesting. Why does Hashem speak to Moshe Rabbeinu from a sna? Why didn't Hashem speak to him from a tulip garden? Why didn't Hashem speak to him from an orchid? Orchids are very nice plants and also very expensive. You know, why didn't Hashem speak to him from any other bush? Why not a cedar tree? Why not a evergreen? Says Rashi from Chazal, why from a snare? Why a thorn bush? Mishum imoy anoichi betzara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching Moshe Rabbeinu that while Klal Yisrael is being brutalized in Egypt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels our pain. Hashem's not appearing in a penthouse. Hashem's not appearing in luxury. The Ribbono Shel Olam is appearing in a thorn bush to indicate imoy anochi b'tzara, that Hashem feels the pain of the Jewish people. Now this is very interesting. This is, so to speak, God's meeting with Moshe Rabbeinu for the first time. He's saying, Shalom Aleichem. You know, hey Moshe, let me tell you who I am. You know who I am? I am imoy anochi b'tzara. Why is Ribbono Shel Olam introducing himself to Moshe Rabbeinu that I am, you know what I am? I am with you in pain. God has many attributes. He's a Rachum, he's a Chanun, he's Erchapayim. Why is Hashem's greeting to Moshe Rabbeinu that Ribbono Shel Olam is a Imoy Anochi B'Tzara, right? This is hello. This is first meeting, first encounter. The first thing God ever said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Imoy Anochi B'Tzara. Why is this the first message Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu? And what does Hashem want from Moshe Rabbeinu later in the Parsha? Hashem comes to Moshe and he says, hey Moshe, I have a job for you. So Moshe said, what's the job? Hashem says, you see these people? They're suffering. I've appointed you to take them out of Egypt. So what's Moshe Rabbeinu's reaction? Now, why don't you ask somebody else, right? That's a classic Jewish response. Why don't you ask somebody else? Somebody, shlach na biyad tishlach. Send the one you usually send. What was Moshe Rabbeinu referring to? Who was Moshe referring to when he said, send the one who you usually send? Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen. Last year, we learned who? Rabbi Akiva. But Rashi says differently. Rashi says the one that Hashem usually sends was Aaron HaKohen. Send the one you usually send, Aaron HaKohen. What does that mean, the one Hashem usually sends? Really? Hashem spoke to Aaron HaKohen before? Did you know that? Raise your hand if you knew that before Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi, God spoke to Aaron. Rashi says Hashem spoke to Aaron. Now, wait a second. How many times does Hashem speak to Aaron in the whole Chumash? Can't think of any. There's no conversations just between Hashem and Aaron. And yet, if you look in the Navi Yecheskel, if you look in Shmuel, there are conversations, there are prophecies that Hashem delivered in Egypt, and it doesn't say to who they were. For example, the Navi Yecheskel says that Hashem tells Klal Yisrael, each man needs to rid themselves of their Avodah Zarah. We don't know who that was addressed to. It doesn't say whether it was to Moshe, was it to Aaron, whether it was to Eiv. Says Rashi, our tradition is, Aaron was a Navi before Moshe Rabbeinu was a Navi. Before Moshe ever prophesied, Aaron was already an established Navi. What did Hashem tell him? Look in Yechezkel, Perek Chaf, Pasuk Hei, V'yamarta Aleihem, Koyamar Hashem Aleikim, B'yoyim Bachari B'Yisrael. Tell them to get rid of their Avodah Zarah. By the way, I once heard from Avigdor Miller, you see from here, the Torah is wealthy in one place and poor in another. Because in the Chumash, we don't find any conversation between Hashem and Aaron HaKohen. You go to Yechezkel, you learn that God spoke to Aaron before he ever spoke to Moshe.
That because Aaron was so modest,
Well, we have to try to figure this out. Number one, why was God speaking to Aaron? And number two, when did Hashem speak to Aaron for the first time? You would not believe this. You would not believe the first prophecy that Aaron got. The Medrash Tanchuma says, don't make a mistake and think that when Hashem asked Moshe to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, don't think Moshe Rabbeinu was being lazy or he didn't want to go. He did it out of respect for Aaron. He said, Ribbono Shel Olam, what do you want from me? You've been speaking to Aaron for the last 80 years. Aaron had been a Navi 80 years before Moshe Rabbeinu. How many prophecies did he get? Countless. For 80 years, nonstop, Aaron's been speaking to God. And what about Moshe? God never said a word to him. You hear this? The greatest man who ever lived, the greatest Navi who ever lived, never communicated with God for 80 years while Aaron was speaking to him the whole time. Who says it? The Medrash. Well, so let's make a cheshbon. How old was Moshe when Hashem spoke to him the first time? 80. How old was Aaron?
83.
And Aaron's been getting Nevuah for 80 years. Which means that at Aaron's upsharon, God came to him and said, by the way, I have a job for you. You're a Navi. That means Aaron was prophesying from age 3 years old.
Also Miriam, age 6.
Aaron was prophesying. Miriam, maybe she got divine information. But Aaron was communicating with God. It was a Navi from age 3. So the million-dollar question, friends, is what did Aaron do when he was 3 years old that he deserved to be a Navi? Yeah, that's a good question. What was he doing at 3 years old? Was he going into was he meditating?
Was he
going into seclusion? What was he doing? What was the zuchus of Aaron? That Aaron HaKohen was already a prophet at age 3. Now, here's another important piece of information. And that is, we know why Aaron was zocha to wear the choshen, right? Aaron wore the breastplate with the Urim and Tumim. Why was he zocha to wear that? Because when Moshe told Aaron, hey Aaron, I got a new job. And Aaron says, what's that? You're selling life insurance now? What are you doing now? Moshe said, no, I was appointed to take the Jewish people out of Egypt. Aaron could have said, what? You stole my job. This was my job. I was a Navi for 80 years. You're an Ani HaMahapech B'Charara. Why'd you do this? What was Aaron's reaction? He was happy for his brother. And because he was happy for his brother, Hashem rewarded him that he said, your heart is the heart that I want to wear, the choshen, the breastplate. So we understand why Aaron at age 83 was zoicha to wear the choshen, because he was happy for his brother. But what did Aaron do at age 3 that he was zoicha to be the Navi Hashem? The answer is we only know one thing that Aaron did. And here we encounter a very interesting pasuk. You're all familiar with the pasuk, but you have to study the pasuk clearly. Look in Ois Dalet, page Samach Beis. Vatiftach vatireyu es hayeled. Basya, the daughter of the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh made a decree because his astrologer said, hey, the Jewish Savior is going to be born today. So Paro said, I'm going to murder every single baby. The Jewish baby, the Jewish Savior will not be born on this day. He will not be born, period. And God's laughing in heaven. We say this over all the time. God said, really? You think you're going to destroy the Jewish Savior? Watch this. The Jewish Savior is floating in the water. Your daughter brings him in. She takes him into your palace. He grows up in your house. That night, Basya said, Dad, I can't sleep. This baby's keeping me up. Would you mind rocking him to sleep? Okay, fine. And Basya gives Paro baby Moshe, and Moshe's rocking, Paro's rocking Moshe to sleep. He's cooing him. And then Basya said, he's starving. He's starving. So Paro said, what do you want me to do? Go to CVS, get him some formula. So Paro goes out in the middle of the night in his pajamas to CVS, and he's like, who's paying for this? He said, Dad, put it on your credit card. Paro takes out his Amex. He pays for Moshe Rabbeinu's formula. He pays for Moshe Rabbeinu. The Ibn Ezra asks, why did Hashem have Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader of Klal Yisrael, grow up in Paro's palace? He should have grown up in BMG in Lakewood. Well, what's he doing? He's going to be the leader of the Jewish people. So says Ibn Ezra, if he's going to grow up among the Jewish people, they're slaves. They have a low mentality. He's going to slouch. He's going to, you know, his shirt is going to be dirty. And the Pharaoh tells him, no, your boy, you're going to be a leader one day. Stand straight. He groomed him for royalty. The only reason why Moshe became Roy is because of Paro. You know what it says in Perkei Avos? Paro kibel Torah misinai. You missed that Mishnah. If not for Paro, we never would have had a Moshe who was Mekabel the Torah. So Paro thought he's going to exterminate the Jewish leader. Paro created the Jewish leader. That's how God operates. In any event, let's look at the pasuk. Vatiftach. She opens up the carriage. Vatireu es hayeled. She sees the child. Vihine nar boicha. The youth was crying. Vatachmalalav. She had mercy on him. Vatoimer. She said, Miyal dehoivrimze. This is a Jewish kid. So the obvious question is the kid a yeled or is he a nar? What do you mean? Vatireu es hayeled. Yeled is a little child. Nar is an older kid. And then a yeled again. What's the kid? Azriel, is he a yeled or a nar?
No. The nar was Aaron.
Who said that? Were you making that up? No. Who's
saying gematria?
No. Nar is not. Nar boich is not gematria Aaron. It's off by over 100. So the answer is comes the Balaturim, and the Balaturim says there are two people over here. There's a yeled, and the yeled is Moshe Rabbeinu. So vatiftach vatireu es hayeled. She opened up and she saw Moshe. Vihine nar, nar like Reb Sender said is Aroin, because the gematria of nar boicha is ze Aroin hakoyhein.
He looked ahead.
You could have looked ahead also. You could have looked ahead also. You know. So ze. The gematria of nar boicha is that Aaron HaKohen. So listen to the pasuk. She opens up the carriage. She sees a baby crying. There's an older kid crying next to him. She says, it must be a Jewish child. So what do we see about Moshe Rabbeinu? What do we see about Aaron HaKohen? One thing we know. As a little boy, he's standing by the riverside and he cries for the plight of his brother.
That was Miriam.
No, Miriam was a little bit further down. That's Vate. We're going to talk by Miriam. It says Vate Satsav Achoisoi Meirachoik Ledea Maye Asalai. Now I'm going to tell you a story. This story is not in print. You're not going to hear it anywhere. You heard it? You heard it? From, I said it. You heard it from me already? You heard it in the morning show? Okay. I'm going to tell it to you anyway. Basically, many years ago, my father told me the story, 15 years ago, and a year ago, this like the fuzzy details of the story were like floating around in my head, and I said it once at the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha, something to do with why Rabbi Matisyahu Solomon was Zoicha to be the Lakewood Mashgiach. I couldn't like piece it together. I called up his Talmud Muvuk. I said, I believe Rabbi Matisyahu said this when he was inaugurated as a Mashgiach in Lakewood. He said, it's not true. I was there. I wrote down what he said. He didn't say any story. I said, there's a story. Who would know the story? He said, call up Rabbi Matisyahu's oldest son-in-law. I called him up. He said, it sounds vaguely familiar. Call my younger brother-in-law. I called, what's his name? Halperin. I called Rabbi Halperin. He said, nobody knows the story. It's not in print. It's not, you can't hear it anywhere. But he said it publicly in front of a few thousand people. It, for some reason, the cameras broke. It was never recorded, and no one ever heard it again. And the story goes like this. Rav Matisyahu Solomon, not when he was inaugurated, when he was honored by the Lakewood Yeshiva. You all heard it, but you're just humoring me. When he was honored by the Lakewood Yeshiva, he basically got up there in the Brooklyn Marriott, and he said, you're not honoring me. You're honoring my mother. What do you mean? He said 1941, Rabbi Aaron Cutler was, he had to move his yeshiva from Kletsk to Vilna, and then the Vat Hatzalah had a plan to rescue Rabbi Aaron, either through England or through America. And in order to carry out the rescue, somebody had to wait in the designated office all night long at the phone in case the call would come in to save the life of Rabbi Aaron Cutler. So they needed a volunteer in England to wait all night in a secure bunker to wait for the call from the Vat Hatzalah. Who volunteered? A girl by the name of Ethel Solomon. It was a Friday night, and she had to be Mechala Shabbos and wait at that phone in case, or at least be willing to, in case the call would come in to rescue Rabbi Aaron. But Matisyahu got up and he said, in the merit that my mother was Vateisatzav Achoisoi Meirachoik Ledea Maye Asoloi to Rabbi Aaron Cutler, her son was Zoicha to become the Mashgiach of Rabbi Aaron Cutler's yeshiva in Lakewood. Anyway, so that's it hit me that Rabbi Matisyahu was Nifter this week when we read about this in the Parsha. So let's examine this a little bit more carefully. Aaron HaKohen, He's a three-year-old boy, and he's crying over the plight of his little brother who was just born on Zion Adar. A child who could have the empathy and the sympathy for a brother, that's a child who is zoicha to become a Navi right there on the spot. You could cry for your brother. That's the midah Hashem is looking for to communicate with such an individual. But let's take it one step further. Because how did Bastia know this was a Jewish child? So Tosva says, well, she sees the kid floating. She sees Aaron. Aaron, of course, was wearing a shtreimel, right? And a bekesha. And so he looked Jewish. And he knows that Aaron is the brother of this kid. So it must be, if Aaron is Jewish, Moshe must be Jewish. Now, I'm just joking. He wasn't wearing a shab. Maybe it was a spadik. Yeah? But whatever. Aaron looked Jewish. So he figures, if Aaron is Jewish, he figures Aaron's Jewish. The kid next to him is also Jewish. But the Arachayim HaKadosh says the Dover Nifla, and don't look it up because you're not going to find it. It's not in the Arachayim HaKadosh Al HaTorah. It's in Drashos Arachayim. Okay? Arachayim has Drashos. Drashos Arachayim. Says Arachayim, when Basya saw that this kid's sibling was crying over him, he said, it must be a Jewish child. Only a Jewish child could have the sympathy and empathy to cry for his brother. This is not a Gentile child. If this kid is crying for his brother, it must be a Jewish child. Mialdei ha'ivrimzeh. Shvatach malalav. She said, Mialdei ha'ivrimzeh. So that's a very beautiful pshat of the Arachayim HaKadosh. Now, comes the brother of Asher Arieli. You ever hear of Rav Shloima Arieli? Rav Shloima Arieli, Rav Asher's brother. Rav Shloima Arieli wrote the Blue Rebbe Akiva Eiger. So when I was a kid, they had three volumes of Rebbe Akiva Eiger on Shas. Then they have now the Blue Rebbe Akiva Eiger. You ever see the Blue Rebbe Akiva Eiger? It's a volume, a separate volume on each Masechta with extensive notes. Rav Shloima Arieli, the brother of Asher Arieli, he wrote three volumes on Yom Tif, on Parshiyos. It's called Rapduni B'Tapuchim. Very, very lumdish. Lumdus on Chumash. Unbelievable Svarim. And he says, now we understand why Aaron HaKohen was Zoicha to become a Navi at 3 years old, and he continued to prophesy for 80 years. It was in the merit of the tsar, the empathy that he felt for his brother, he was zoicha tenevuah. Now, friends, I want to just share with you the following imagery. Here you have someone suffering, and someone standing on the other side of the river. What is their responsibility? At the very least, if you're not there in the water with them, if you're on the other side of the river, at the very least, you have to feel their pain. If you feel their pain, it's an opportunity to be elevated. When our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael are suffering, if you're not there with them, but we're on the other side of the river, here we are, we're on the East Coast, we're on the other side of the river, at the very least, if you can't go there and help them, the most basic obligation is to feel their pain, to cry for them, to cry for their suffering. That's what we learned from Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen at age 3 already, he had the Taras HaNefesh, he had the godless to cry for his brother. So friends, let me ask you a question. Then why then and there God should have said, hey Aaron, you cried for your brother, not only your Navi, you're going to wear the Choshen. Did the Ribbono Shel Olam award Aaron the ability to wear the Choshen at age 3 years old? No. Not until Aaron was 83. Was he zoicha to wear the chayshan? Was he zoicha to be eligible to wear the chayshan? What did he do at age 83 that he didn't do at age 3? So at age 83, he was happy for his brother's success. Yeah, but he was already crying for his brother at age 3. Says Rav Shloima Arieli, we see a great principle in human dynamic. It's not so hard to feel someone else's pain. If you know someone else can't make a living, my heart goes out for them. You know someone who needs a shidduch? I feel for you. You know someone who's waiting to have a child? I feel. You know someone who's ill? I feel bad. My heart goes out. I empathize with you. But when you see someone's more successful than you, you see someone's family more blessed, it's not so easy to feel happy for them. That requires a much, much higher level. I think we could all agree that it's much easier to feel bad for someone than to feel happy for them. To feel happy for them, you have to be on a much higher level. Aaron HaKohen at age 3, he was already on the highest level of empathy, sympathy, and he was zoicha to become a Navi. But it took him 80 years to rise up to the level to be happy for his brother's success. And that's the highest possible level. Friends, I want to share something with you. Raise your hand if you like to go to a kiddush. No, I'm saying, and not eat. Let's say you wouldn't be eating. You can't eat. Who here likes to go to kiddush if they're not going to eat anything? So what do I need to go for?
Socializing.
I want to, and let's say you can't even talk to anybody. I want to share with you the most important part of going to a kiddush. Or you're sitting at a chuppah. You know what the most important thing to do at a simcha is? To feel happy for the Baal simcha. That is the main objective of going to someone's simcha. To feel happy for the person. They had a baby, feel happy for them. They marrying off their kid, feel happy for them. Whatever it is, whatever the simcha is, they're making a chasana, they're making an afruf, they're making a vart, they're making a bris, they're making a kiddush. The main objective is to feel happy for them. And if you're able to tell them you're happy for them, you're even better. That's a very high madrega. You do that, Hashem says, I don't have any more choshens to give you, but I'm going to give you something good. It's a very high level to feel happy for another Jew. That's the level of Aaron HaKohen. Rabbosai, now I'm going to share with you the amazing discovery of Rav Matisyahu Salomon, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. This is such a beautiful vart that my soul quivers when I say it over. At the end of the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Yosef. Oli Yosef Amar, Mivayrachas Hashem Artsoi. Mi meget shamayim mital umi tehayim roivetz es tachas. Rashi says, "Ein lecha eretz mevayreches ka'artzo shel Yosef." No shevet was blessed with such a bounty like Yosef HaTzadik. Not Osher, not Zevulun. There is no shevet who had more blessing than Yosef. Says God, says Moshe, you know who's giving it to you? It's coming from Umi meged eretz umlaya uretzoin shoycheni sineh. You know who's giving it to you, Yosef? The one who resides in the burning bush. Huh? Who's that, by the way? Who resides in the burning bush?
Hashem.
I have a question for you. God has many names. How many names does God have?
Ten.
Good, seven names. Havaya, Elohim, Tzvakos, Kael, Shakai, Ekya, seven names, Sheinim Nimchakim. And one of them is not Ritzoin, the Sheikh Nisna, the one who resides in the thorn bush. He has many Midois, Kael, Rachum, Mechanun. Why? Does anybody know how many times in the Torah is God called the one who resides in the thorn bush? Never! Not in Chumash, not in Nevi'im, not in Ksuvim, except for the bracha given to Yosef. Ask Rav Matisyahu Salomon why. Why all of a sudden now is God called the one who resides in the thorn bush? Says Rav Matisyahu, there's a Baal HaTurim. Twice in Tanakh it says the following word, Uli Yosef. One is Uli Yosef Amar, at the end of the Torah when God gives the blessing to Yosef. The other is in Bereishis. Uli Yosef Yulad Shnei Banim B'Terem Tavay Shnas Harav. Yosef had kids before the famine. Once the famine came, he stopped engaging with his wife. He said, the world is suffering, I'm not going to engage in pleasure. He had his children before the famine. Says Baal HaTurim, because Yosef felt the pain of mankind and he didn't engage in pleasure when people were suffering, that is why Yosef was zoicha to the greatest blessing of all the Shvatim. Because Yosef was noisei ba'olam chaveroi, he was zoicha to the greatest bounty. People are looking for zechusim for parnasa. Here it is. You ready? The big zechus, feel pain when other people are suffering. Oh, says the Mashkiach, now we know why Moshe Rabbeinu tells Yosef, You know why you got the bounty? You know why you want it big? You know why Uli Yosef Amar Mevarechas Hashem Artsai? Because Uli Yosef Yulad Shnei Banim Meterem Tavish Nasarav. You didn't engage in pleasure when other people are suffering. So you know who's giving you the bracha? The one who introduced himself to the first time to me with the midah that of all his midahs, he's what? Imai Anoichi Betzara. Yosef, I want to let you know why you're getting the blessing. You're getting this blessing because you learned the lesson that Hashem taught me when He said hello to me the first time. And He said, you know who I am? I'm God. You know what God is? God is someone who feels your pain. You learned that lesson. So Yosef, this is not coming from Kael, Shakai, Tzavakos. It's coming from the God whose quintessential midah is Mitoy Chaseh Ima Anochi Betzara. That's Rav Matisyahu Solomon. Now I want to share with you a humble addition. And then I'm going to share with you a mamish, a gift from heaven. It's a gift. It's better than if a package would have come down wrapped with a bow. Okay, you'll be maskim. This is matan min hashemayim. Without any, nothing less than that. I have a question for you. Okay, a little trivia question. What's the name of the mountain where God gave the Torah to the Jewish people, Israel? Very good. This man got it. Har Sinai is the mountain. Does anybody know? Yeah, that's... Whatever happened on Har Sinai that it should be Zoicha that Hashem gave the Torah on that mountain? Historically, before God gave the Torah on Har Sinai, do we ever encounter this mountain?
Yes.
Correct. One of those two choices. One of those two possibilities. Now, did anyone ever go there? Did anyone know that? I was supposed to go there in January.
I was.
Reb Shmuel Klein was there, and I was supposed to go there, but we decided because of the events that Egypt might not be the best place to go right now. There might be 7-Eleven over there. I don't know. I'm just.
Before you were born, I was there.
How do you know how old I am?
And
yeah,
and they have even some stream over there. I mean, those monks, I don't know where they have water.
On Har Sinai, did anything ever happen? You bet, yes. You know what happened? After God told Moshe, I want you to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, Moshe went back to Har Sinai. Moshe went back to Egypt. And on his way back, he met someone. His name was Aaron. Look in the pasuk. Look in Oisches. Vayoymer Hashem el Aaron. Lech likras Moshe Amidbara. God says to Aaron, go meet Moses. Vayifkesheu b'har holoikim. He met him on Har Sinai. Vayishakloi. He gave him a kiss. So what do we know that happened on Har Sinai before the Torah was given? That when Aaron meets his brother, where he could have been jealous, or he could have been miffed, or he could have been, you know, stingy about it, he kissed him b'lev shalem, and with taras halev he was happy for his brother. I wanted a guy. It was a good tourist place. He was. That's where he met. Question. In Parshas Vahaloicha, Hashem tells Moshe, I need 70 zakenim to be the Sanhedrin. Now you need to know, to be a member of Sanhedrin, you need to know Kol HaTorah Kula. You need to know Shas Bavli, Toisvis, the Marsha, Pnei Yeshua, Rabbi Kiva Eger, Noid Behudok Tzois. You need to know Shulchan Aruch, Shach and Taz. You need to know Torah Kod. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, no problem, I'm going to get you 70 goinim. So Hashem says, go take Esfali Shivamish, Mizikne Israel, Asher Yadata Kihim Zikne Ha'am Veshaitrav. Go take elders that you know who are leaders of the people and stand with there. Says Rashi, which guys did Moshe Rabbeinu take? The ones that he knew who were officers in Egypt when they were commanded to make the Klal Yisrael fulfill their quota. And instead of making them fulfill their quota, they had mercy on them. And they were hit on their account, and they took it on the chin for their brethren. Those became the 70 members of the Sanhedrin. Asks Hagoyin Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, not to be confused with Rav Moshe Shapiro. Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro says, wait a second, God asked him to bring Goinim, not nice guys. not nice people. He's a get tamid chachamim. So what's he taking people who were beat for their brethren and took it on the chin? Okay, good guy, they're nice guys. Shkayach, yashikayach, you're wonderful people. You're what we call a good guy. But we need big rabbis here. We don't need good guys. We need Goyne Torah. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu take these people? Says Hagoyin Rav Moshe Shmuel Shapiro, from here we learn that the essential ingredient of reaching great levels in Limud HaTorah is feeling pain for other people and suffering to prevent other people from suffering. Because the Torah, the Gemara Menachos says, you know who gave the Torah? The Toiv, God, the good one. He gave Torah, which is called Lekach Toiv. He gave it to Moshe, it was called Tovya Toiv. To Klal Yisrael, it was called Toivim. Torah is the definition of goodness and the essential midah that is needed to understand and achieve greatness in Torah is feeling the pain of others. And even though they weren't necessarily noted for their godliness in Torah, but if they excelled in feeling the pain of others, you could bet your bottom dollar these would ultimately be the biggest Talmidei Chachamim. So what do we learn from here? That the foundation of the Torah, of understanding the Torah, not just a skula for wealth, which it is, but the foundation of understanding the knowledge of Hashem is having the midah that you could feel the pain of someone else. And what's the highest level of this midah? Being happy for the success of someone else. So if you needed to select a place where this place has already been stamped and seared as a place where the highest example of feeling the pain of someone else was ever displayed and demonstrated, where is the makom that someone reached the highest plateau of goodwill toward another? That place was Har HaElokim, where the older brother, who had been prophesying for 80 years, when he heard that his younger brother got the job, he kissed him. That's how happy he was. Oh, Yibam Shalom says, this is the place. This is where I want to give the Torah. Right over here. Let people understand this is the foundation of Kol HaTorah Kula. Vayifkeshehu b'har ho'alekim vayishaklai. Says Yibam Shalom, mark off the place. This is the place I want the Torah to be given. Okay, now I want to share with you one last thought.
What did Moshe Rabbeinu do to deserve Nevuah?
What did Moshe Rabbeinu do to deserve Nevuah?
Yeah. When he says about an hour and when it was 3, he was feeling the pain of his brother. What did Moshe do?
So maybe this will help us answer this question. So I was once on one of these trips. We went to Morocco. We had with us this little Sefer Torah, tiny Sefer Torah. It was like the size of mezuzah. And it was Parshas Vayechi. And the Balkoire Pasha could not see where Vayechi began. Because there's no space between the end of Vayechi and the beginning of Vayechi. And the Sefer Torah is mamash mezuzah. You need a magnifying glass, kamat, to see it. So nobody knew where the Parsha started. Why? Because Parsha's Vayechi is a Parsha Sesuma. Why is it a Parsha Sesuma? What does Rashi say? Kivan sheniftaru Yaakov Avinu nistamu einehem velibam shel Yisrael. When Yaakov passed away, the eyes and the heart of the Jewish people sealed shut. Anyone ever hear that Rashi before? We all know the Rashi. That when Yaakov passed away, the eyes and the heart of the Jewish people sealed shut. So, Hashem, hey, or Einai, one simple question. What's this emphasis that their eyes sealed shut, their heart sealed shut? Just say, when Yaakov died, we were brutalized, we were tortured, we were beaten, we were despondent, we were depressed. What's the focus on the eyes and the heart? You ever wonder about that? What does it mean that our eyes and our hearts sealed shut? And Hashem illuminated my eyes, we come to this week's parsha. What do we know about Moshe Rabbeinu? The famous Pasuk and Rashi, Vayigdulu Moshe, Vayetze Alechav, Vayar B'Sivloisam. What does Rashi say? Nasan Einav V'Liboy Liyos Meitzar Aleim. Moshe Rabbeinu grew up, he went out, and he put his eyes and his heart to feel the pain of other Jews. It's not on the sheet. It's added. No extra charge though. Okay? Moshe Rabbeinu went out and he put his eyes and his heart on the Jewish people.
Why? He didn't know.
Now we know why you need eyes and a heart. You need eyes to see someone else's pain. You need a heart to feel someone else's pain. But the problem was, you know why Chazal say that our eyes and our eyes and heart were sealed shut? You know how it is that when you're having a bad day and you're sort of caught up in your own difficulty and you see someone else, you don't even see anybody else suffering. You can't feel anyone else's pain. When you're so caught up in your own plight, you can't pay attention to anybody else. What happened was, when Yaakov passed away, we were so tormented, our eyes and our heart are sealed shut from seeing someone else's pain and feeling someone else's pain. And then Houston, we got a problem. Because if you can't see someone else's pain and you can't feel someone else's pain, you're going to be trapped in Egypt forever. Because God deals with a person, quid pro quo, measure for measure. If you can't see someone else's pain and you can't feel someone else's pain, God said, I would love to help you. But I don't see a problem. I don't feel your pain. It's not that he doesn't see or he doesn't feel, but he acts as if he doesn't see or he acts as if he doesn't feel because our eyes and heart are sealed shut. So we need someone to break the cycle. Comes Raya Mehemna. Comes our faithful shepherd. Comes Moshiach and Shel Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu looks up and he sees the eye of heaven, so to speak, is closed. He sees the heart of heaven is closed. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, how are we going to break the cycle? Vayetze Moshe El Achiv. Vayar B'Sivlosom, says Rashi. Nasan Einav V'Liboy Liyos Meitzer Aleim. I'm going to put my heart on the Jewish people. I'm going to put my eye on the Jewish people. So what would you expect the reaction of heaven going to be? God's going to open his eye. He's going to open his heart. I can't believe it. Listen to these words of Rashi. It's mamash a gift from heaven. A few psukim later. Vayar Elohim es b'nei Yisrael. Vayeda Elohim. Listen to Rashi. Nosan aleihem leiv v'loi helim einav. Ayin Benayra. It's unbelievable. Simple Rashis. You hear this? All of a sudden, God put his heart on us, and he didn't ignore his eye. If you want to see, it's not on the sheet. It's going to be on the Pninim this week. You hear this? You hear the cycle? You see, when our eyes and heart are sealed shut because we are too caught up in our own pain, then God says, "Gotta ignore you. Sorry. You did it to yourself. That's not me. I can't look at you. I don't see it. Because It's not that I don't see, it's you're not letting me see. You're not letting me feel." So Moshe Rabbeinu has to break the cycle. The second Moshe Rabbeinu is Nasan Aleihem Lev. Nasan Liba Einoif Liba Aleihem. The Ribbono Shel Olam responds in kind immediately. Nasa Vayar Elohim Es B'nei Yisrael Vayeda Elohim Nasan Aleihem Lev Lo Helem Einoif. A few psukim later, Rashi Yashan. It's in the Rashi's in parentheses. Samti lev lehisboinen ladas es machoivav. Veloi he'elamti einai. Now we understand, Rabbi Isai, why when God greets Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, "Hey, you want to know who I am?" We'll get to the Havaya later. We'll get to the Ekyet later. First thing you need to know is who I am. I feel your pain. Why is that the first thing Hashem tells Moshe? He's letting him know, how are you going to get out of here? This is the key to get out. And sometimes we want to know, how do we make it that Hashem more acutely is seeing our suffering and more acutely is feeling our pain? The answer is, it's all dependent on us. Where do we learn that? Vayera elav Hashem mitoy chasna. Hashem is letting us know the way we feel toward our friend. Is our eye open to look at him? You know, everybody talks about Shmir Seinayim. You have to have your eyes closed. You have to have one eye. You have to have your eyes closed. You also have to have your eyes open. You have to have your eyes open to see what other people are going through. You have to have your heart open to feel their pain. An even higher level is to be happy for their success. Rashi tells us in Shir HaShirim that God's going to speak with us one more time. When Mashiach comes, He's going to teach us the secrets of the Torah. Hashem's waiting to come back to Har Sinai. But it's up to us that when we hear about our friend's success, the reaction has to be, Vayishak loy. We should be happy, B'lev Shalem. And in that zuchus, here we are. We're across the ocean. We're like Miriam HaNeviah. Vateisatza v'achoysoy meirachayk. But at the very least, we have to emulate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Imono Chivetzara. Rabbi Isai, thank you so much. Have a wonderful night. Kol Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.